This is the Real Magic Podcast. Learn about great design and use it to get great results. Now your hosts, Greg Merrilees and Alan Nunez.
Hello, listener, and thank you for joining Greg and I today for the Real Magic Design Podcast, where we try and unpack our experience to help designers and business owners understand how to create amazing designs and work together to make designs that are profitable. I'm Alan from Pixel Partners HQ, and here is my co-host, Greg, from Studio One Design.
Hey, how are you, Big Al?
No, I'm awesome, man.
I love it. Just thought I'd do a big, you know, US kind of intro voice.
Yeah, we need to pump it up a bit.
Pump it up, yeah, exactly. We've been told we're too boring.
get a bit evangelical.
Yeah, exactly. And anyway, so this podcast, we're talking about design briefs, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Forgetting the good, the bad, and the ugly, what have you been up to this week, brother?
It's been a great week, as usual, in business. But yeah, for me, I've been invited, this is pretty exciting, I've been invited to be part of an online event where I'll be discussing website design to not just one audience, but multiple, because the person that's organizing the event has invited some pretty big players in the entrepreneur online space. And so they'll be, you know, essentially sharing everything at this live event with their lists as well. So, yeah, it could be huge.
Man, I reckon you'd know a thing or two about web design.
Just a bit, buddy.
Especially for entrepreneurs and marketers. I mean, it's interesting because there's really, I don't know, there's not a lot going on in web design in that market. I mean, everybody does it, but there's a lot of people out there being advocates for Facebook and for AdWords and automation, but this whole topic of web design and design that converts has kind of dropped off the radar a bit, hasn't it?
I agree, man. Like, there's a lot of website companies out there, but there's a big gap for, good website companies that also concentrate on conversions. I mean, there's a lot of other ways of measuring, you know, conversions, but, you know, design is something that you can really optimize to get the most out of it. And, yeah, there's a big hole at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there is some beautiful design out there, but there's no one sort of setting the precedent or the paradigm of what is, you know, what is the standard for the industry. So
you got it, man. But what about you, Al? What have you been up to this week, buddy?
Man, we've been crazy busy. It's a super busy time for the Pixel Partners team. We've been doing a bunch of custom illustrations, which is actually something that we really, really enjoy. You know, the awesome part about it is it's highlighted for us the importance of thinking out our works before we hit the computer. You know, with technology today, we tend to just jump straight into, you know, InDesign, Illustrator, Photoshop, whatever your tool may be, and we just see what comes of the design as we start putting it onto the screen, right? But, you know, what we've been doing, and we've been doing this for custom illustrations, and we're actually bringing this across into all our design works, is that we're making it a requirement that the designer actually hand sketches out the concept and runs it past the team leader and possibly the creative director before they hit the computer.
Wow.
Man. Look, I'm enjoying it, and the team are enjoying it.
Old school.
Definitely. But you know what? It has brought the distance between the initial brief and the final design so much closer together.
Yeah, fantastic. We do the same thing with our illustrations, but I'm starting to think it might be a good idea for web design as well.
Yeah, sketch it out. You know, it might be a bit of a wireframe. Get the concepts of where the elements are going to sit, how the spacing's going to be. And, I mean, you can do it on just about any type of design. But, yeah, definitely been really, really good. And the custom illustrations, we're really enjoying. I mean, we're doing everything from illustrations for children's books, educational work, corporate work, you know, like really cool corporate illustrations for PowerPoint displays and brochures. So it's been a lot of fun, and I think we're going to try and do a lot more of that work. It's something that just ticks all our boxes as far as, you know, if we had a favourite, that would probably be it at the moment.
Cool. Well, how many illustrators do you have?
We have got three illustrators, or at least three team members that do regular illustration work, depending on depending on whether it's custom illustration or whether it's creative illustration.
Yeah.
Technical illustration, because we do a lot of technical diagrams, like instructional diagrams.
Die lines.
And that's die lines, but also, you know, how to assemble this. Steps in a process, technical diagrams of mechanical components. So they'll send us a photo of the component broken down and we will turn it into technical illustration so that they can refer to it. So that's not such a creative type of illustration, but we still enjoy it. You know, there's a certain satisfaction in what we create. So, yeah, fun.
Alrighty, Al. So that leads us to our topic of the week, design briefs, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Man, and are there some ugly design briefs out there, let me tell you. don't we both know it? Okay, so I guess let's start this off with, you know, what is a bad design brief? And also, how does that actually affect the final result in the design? What's your perspective on this, Greg?
Well, you know, a bad design brief is not having a brief. There's just way too much guesswork involved. So, you know, I encourage every designer, design business, or even business requesting a design to have some form of a brief.
Do you mean like a written design brief? Because I know a lot of designers will take a verbal design brief.
Yeah, it could be video. It could be anything, as long as it clearly articulates what, you know, what the customer wants.
And probably that there's a record of it. You know, you can have a conversation over a coffee, but then you both get up and walk away. And do you have a design brief at that point?
That's a really good point. Yeah, absolutely. That is probably the crucial thing about a design brief, that it is recorded, so you've got something to fall back on. And, I mean, it doesn't matter how you record it, whether it's written, verbal, you know, audio, whatever, video. But, yeah, you should definitely have one. So a bad design brief is not having one, for a start. You know, I'll just lead into, say, one example of a bad design brief from a client. It's when they send you just one example of something that they like with no other information, and they say, just do it like this, make it look like Apple. That's a very common brief. I'm sure you get that too.
Oh, mate, don't look, you know, you can't just send something your competitor's got or something in another industry and say, I want something like this. We still need to know, you know, what is it going to do for you? What's the purpose of it? I mean, I got one recently. We want this. They actually sent me a logo. We want this. So what we did was we replicated that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Look, we put it in their brand colors. We changed the styling so it was unique, but it was basically a headline with another element attached to it, right? Now, let me tell you, that job is still going today and it's been going on for weeks because that's not actually what they wanted. All of a sudden, my mistake, we didn't dig deep into it. Why do you want it? Who's using it? Who are the key stakeholders? And wow, man, like this has taken forever because we didn't stop and say, all right, we understand you want something like this, but can you tell me why, how, what's it going to be used for? So you're right, man. You know, I just want something like this doesn't work.
Yeah. So that's true. The more information, the better. We just had a client that the brief, we had a design brief. We had a questionnaire. That was all good. We had a conversation just to make sure that we understood the answers to the questionnaire. Clients seemed fair and reasonable. And we've also got in our terms and conditions, you know, that we do, for this one, we had unlimited revisions as long as the design brief didn't change. Well, in this case, the design brief changed about four or five times and we kept delivering results, and then she'd see the results and keep changing her mind again. So we just had to give her a refund. I mean, that was my choice because she was just too painful to work with. So,
but, you know, that interests me because your terms and conditions specifically state as long as the design brief doesn't change.
That's right, yeah.
So why did you allow her to change it three or four times?
I didn't know myself. It just went through the keeper, you know what I mean? So
Yeah, I know.
It was when I found out that we're having all these issues and she keeps coming back, and then I had to jump in and then realise why.
Well, you know what? You know, I have a similar scenario with a number of clients, and it's not about the design brief changing. I mean, the design brief does change, but it's not because one particular person changes the design brief. It's because they're designing by committee, right? So they're in a slightly bigger business. There's multiple people in that business that need to sign off on a design before we can use it. So everybody's looking at the proof that we've sent, but not one of them have actually seen the original design brief. So they're all looking at it very subjectively and giving their, you know, their opinion on what should be changed. And it gets super confusing. I mean, designing by committee sucks, right? Yeah. One person needs to be working on it, right? And if it is going to be multiple stakeholders, everybody has to be on the call at the same time when you're talking about it, right? So here's something that I do, right, particularly in these sort of scenarios, is I actually take the original design brief and I have it follow the proof. So I attach it in the same PDF and make it the first page, right? So when they open the PDF, what are they seeing? They're seeing the design brief that they sent me, and then they're having a look at the design. And their brain is saying, okay, does this match the design brief? Because otherwise, you know, you get scenarios. And that may have helped in that situation that you're talking about there, Greg, because if the design brief was with the proof and they wanted to change it, you would very quickly have said, well, hang on a minute, but you asked us to do this.
That's true, yeah. Oh, well, that happens occasionally, so you just got to move on.
Oh, yeah. Live and learn.
Yep, that's it, mate. But, yeah, speaking of committees, we used to do a lot of, you know, clothing for licenses for kids' clothes, you know, whether it's the latest Disney movie or whatever. And, you know, you have to design it for your customer, which was at the time a wholesaler. Then they have to get it approved by the retailer that then has to get it approved by the licensor. And it just goes on and on. So
That's designed by committee at the best of times.
Yeah, exactly. So that was challenging, but... yeah, I'd hate to be one of our customers, because they love the design and they have to submit it, and then it just gets changed and changed. So anyway,
A quick apology out to any of our customers that are listening. Right, this is not a client bashing session. we're sharing these experiences because we're as much at fault when these things happen. Right, as a designer.
Yeah, yeah. The purpose of this podcast is really, you know, to share our experiences so that you, the designer or business that needs design, can learn by our mistakes.
Exactly. You know, and everyone needs to take responsibility, you know. And like I said, I just didn't want this to come across as, hey, look at all these bad things our clients do. These are just very specific examples that relate to what happens when a design brief isn't well executed.
Exactly. The first question is, what's a bad design brief? But we'll get into the good stuff next.
Yeah, we promise.
Yeah, and most of our clients are awesome. Like 99.5 or something percent of our work goes smoothly because we have a good design brief in place. And yeah, our clients are awesome.
Talking about design briefs, you know, one of the things that, and this is sort of more towards the client than the designer, all right, or the business owner. You know, you really have to think about the words that you use in your design brief. I mean, we want it to be descriptive as a designer. We want to understand how it has to feel. But you've got to be careful not to use words like, you know, make it innovative, make it groundbreaking and new.
Make it pop. Right?
Make it pop. Yeah, thanks, Greg. That's my favorite. Can you make the design pop, right? You know what? A design may end up being groundbreaking and new and innovative, but it doesn't start that way. It starts understanding the purpose. It starts understanding, you know, the emotional connection it has to create with the viewer. So, you know, that is the end result. But when we're doing a design brief, really just think about how you would like it to engage with your customer, right? So your customer doesn't want to see something innovative, groundbreaking and new. They want to see something that connects with them. So think very carefully about the words that you use and try and describe it well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they may want it to be what I call commercial. So it doesn't have to be the latest and greatest. It just needs to sell.
Oh, absolutely. And knowing what it's going to be used for is super important.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, anyway, look, we have many clients across many industries, and so therefore we have many types of briefs. And it can be confusing to the designer when you have so many different clients. They don't get used to the same client. And therefore, what we've done is created a questionnaire around our products and our process. And then we put that questionnaire to the client. And therefore, when they answer it, our designers are used to the structure of the questions and the answers. And that gets us a better result.
Man, that's awesome. But you know what? It's not just for your designers. You know, the client gets used to the questionnaire. So the next time they work with you, they know what to expect and they're ready to fill those questions in, you know. So look, as long as your questionnaire has things like, the, you know, some sort of clarity of purpose, you know, in the design brief, otherwise it's tough to get good results, man. If you're not clear on why we're designing this, you know, you're designing for the sake of making something look pretty, not necessarily getting a result.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, cool. And look, another point I wanted to make, which we kind of touched on before, is that you just need to have more information rather than too little. I'd rather have too much. You know, if it's too little, you're going to be miles off the mark. If you've got too much, at least you can discuss with the client why they've given you this reference point, etc. So, yeah, just make sure, you know, every brief has enough information or too much.
Oh, look, absolutely. Okay, so if you're a business owner and you're doing a design brief, just remember, you know, designers can't read between the lines. They may not be as intimate with your industry as you are. So, you know, that can be a massive problem. You need to be clear and as detailed as possible. You know, despite common belief in businesses, designers don't just pluck great designs out of thin air. You know, there's research, there's a creative process that needs to occur. Now, if you skip details in the design brief, right, it's like just putting a little bit of fuel into a car that's got to go on a long journey. You know, ultimately, it's going to stall or it's going to move slowly because you haven't equipped it with what it needs to go through the process. And that's what the designer needs, clarity and detail. And hey, you know, back to designers, don't let your customers get away with it. You know, ask heaps of questions and don't just take the design brief and start designing. Make sure you talk to the customer and crystallize, you know, what is required before, you know, your pencil hits the paper or before your mouse hits the computer, right? So in our business, we take design briefs on a daily basis, right? But what our team does is they will read the design brief, they will rewrite it in what we call a scope of works, which is basically the design brief. Yeah, it's the design brief in our own words, and we send it back to the client before we start designing. And we say, hey, this is what we've heard you tell us that you want. So they don't have to reply to that. If it's all correct, they just go, yep, perfect, right? But if we've missed something at that point, we're really going to we're gonna pick that up.
That's that's a great point. We don't do that, but, yeah, I'm learning, Al.
Mate, we're all learning, you know. You know, just one last point, right? Just remember this, business owners. If you be slack on your design brief, right, your design is going to take longer. It's going to need more revisions, right? And often it will go beyond its intended purpose because you're just adding as you go because you were light on the design brief in the beginning, right? So skimping on this part of the work, you know, sending a designer a thin design brief and just hoping for the best or working it out after you've seen the first proof just makes the whole process longer and harder. And it's just going to cost you more at the end of the day, you know, time and energy. Even if you've got a fixed price designer, you still have to invest the time in reviewing every piece of work that gets done, you know. So look, enough about the nasty stuff. Greg, let's talk the flip side of this coin, right? So if you do get a design brief, you know, what would it look like and how does that impact on the final result in the design?
Well, there's two types of briefs. One comes from the customer and then we have to convert that design brief into a brief for our designers. I mean, it can be the same brief, but we often try and break it down even further. So for starters, our process is in a good design brief. We have a questionnaire that the customer fills out. Then we have a call with, you know, a Skype call with the customer just to make sure that everything is clear. And then we usually convert that questionnaire into a template. You know, we have already pre-made templates of various designs that we do. And these are our own templates that we've created, you know, based on, you know, good conversions, etc. And then when we brief the designers, when I say we, me or the design manager, we make sure we give them a template as a starting point and then we discuss the brief again.
It's probably more of a framework than a template, isn't it? I mean,
yes, exactly.
Template sort of implies,
yeah.
Yeah, template implies filling in the blanks, but that's cool, man. So what you're doing is you're taking the brief, you're distilling it so that it's no longer in client talk, but it's in design talk.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you're saying this will suit this type of framework that we've already developed that we know works, and then the designer is implementing, right?
That's right, yeah. Because not all of our designers understand conversions as well as I do, for instance. So as part of my educational process, That's why we have these wireframes, if you like, or frameworks, so that they start to understand, you know, what will help a design convert better.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really, really cool. I think that talking through a design brief with a client is super important. And client, don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call your designer and say, I'm struggling with your design brief or your questionnaire.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that business owner, that manager, that, you know, marketing coordinator, the salesman, whoever it is you're dealing with on this design, they're not really experts in writing a design brief, right? So they may not even know where to start. Even though you've given them this wonderful questionnaire, some of those questions can be a little daunting to answer. So, you know, pick up the phone. Even if you, you know, you can do it pre-giving them the questionnaire and you can explain what your expectations are. You can say, listen, I'm giving you this questionnaire, but don't stress. Answer it the best we can and we'll do a call after and we'll go through it. But I think guiding a client through the design process is well-invested time, right? Because you'll get insights that you can't just get off a written questionnaire. And look, we do a similar thing to you. And, you know, I'm really thinking about the way you've talked about your frameworks. One of the things that our project managers are required to do is to actually break down the job into its key components before it gets allocated to the design team so that the design team are clear. You know, there might be illustration parts to the design. There may be page layout. There may be a die knife that needs to be done. There may be some images that need to be processed. So their job is to break it down into its smaller bite-sized chunks and then assign it out to the design team to manage those things. So, you know, it's interesting. We both have an intermediary level between the actual designer doing the work and the clients. We have that step in between, which can work well. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of solo designers out there that do the lot, right? But, you know, as you grow as a business, it might be something you might want to consider.
Couldn't agree more, man.
Look, I think a good design brief, right, is going to have clearly defined the minimum requirements and the intent, you know, of the piece. You know, so what is the message? What is the purpose of the design, right? If you want a brochure designed, your purpose is not to design a brochure, right? Your purpose is to attract more customers, to, you know, instigate a client to send you a proposal request, right? Make a phone call from the brochure. Does that make sense, Greg? Like, So the purpose is super important. The other thing I really like is getting samples and examples of things they like and dislike. So I'll often drop into a client's folder, likes, dislike folder, in their shared folder with us, and say, I want you to go out and scour all your brochures on your shelf, websites that you've seen, and I want you to screenshot them and drop them into the likes and dislikes, and then we'll have a conversation as to why you like and why you dislike certain things. So I think that helps the design process as well. Do you show examples of your work and say, do you like this one?
Yeah,
or do you like that one?
We do exactly that. Yeah, we have a Dropbox link full of, you know, the certain design that we think they're asking for to show them as an example after we've heard the brief, you know.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I reckon that pretty much covers a good design brief. And at the end of the day, a good design brief is going to make the design faster, better, you know, easier. Would you agree?
Absolutely, man. So just on average, just an ad hoc question, but how many design iterations would you guys have to do on average, or does it depend on the client or the brief?
Look, we have our one-shot, one-kill program, which is internal. So our goal is to get so deep into the design brief that when we present the first iteration, we smash it out of the park.
Wow.
Right? The designer looks at it, the client looks at it and goes, yes, 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 right? Does it always happen? No, right?
How often does that happen?
Oh, on a weekly basis, right? So when we have team meetings, the guys actually have like a little chart, and every time they get a one-shot, one-kill, it's celebrated amongst the team.
Nice. Right?
And it says to us that we're really trying to focus on the design brief and understand what the client needs.
Yeah.
Look, we don't supply multiple versions of a design for a client to choose from. Our policy is we may design more than one version when we're sketching, when we're doing first concepts, But the team leader and the creative director and the design team will cull out the ones that they don't believe meets the client's needs.
Yeah, we do the same thing, one at a time.
Yeah, we'll present one, right? And most of the time we get pretty damn close, you know.
Yeah, same. And that comes from a good design brief, and that's why this conversation is so important.
Oh, mate, does it ever. Every time we have to do multiple iterations, it always comes down to the fact that we skipped the design brief process, or we took a shortcut, or we didn't push back, or we didn't take the time and care to ask the right questions. For those of you who fell asleep earlier in the podcast, I'm Alan, and we're here with Greg today on the Real Magic Podcast, and we are talking design briefs. So, Greg, we've talked about a bad design brief. We've talked about a good design brief, right, and the impact. But let's just get into the nitty-gritty, right? What should be in a design brief? Because really designers and business owners need to know this, because if a business owner has engaged a designer and they get a really bad design brief, they should look at that and go, have I made the right decision? You know, so what do you think? What should be in a design brief?
Okay, so a design brief should have just the basics to start with, like, you know, what is the headline that you want on the product or whatever it is? You know, what is the name, the tagline, the, you know, USP, all those sorts of things. And, you know, simple things like, do you have the copy? What colors do you want? Size, design, style, et cetera, et cetera. And then after that, so keep those questions quite easy for the client to answer to start with, but then dig a little deeper into the harder things like, you know, perhaps who's the demographic, target market, you know, the avatar, for instance, and what is the purpose of the design?
Yeah, look, definitely. I mean, I really like when, you know, maybe having different levels of design brief, because there'll be customers that go, oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, right? Good point, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I often like to have a design brief that has visual prompts. So, for example, when you're talking about design style, right, or colors, have little images next to the question that shows a one color, a two color, a, you know, full color design. Is this what you're after, right? Because you might ask somebody, what do you want the color? And they went, oh, I want it pretty.
So true, yeah.
That's not going to help you when you're designing it.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And look, every product that you're creating will have a different design brief, that's for sure. So, you know, if it's a website, we have around 20 questions in there. If it's a logo, it's a lot simpler. There's probably half a dozen questions, but they're a lot easier to answer and they don't go too deep.
Yeah, and you could have different examples like, you know, do you want a text-only logo?
Definitely.
You know, and have a picture of a text-only logo, two or three. Do you want a full-color dynamic logo where you might have, you know, a very detailed design in it? Because you've got to think about how it's going to be used, right? Because people might want that detailed logo but then discover that it's going on, you know, it's going to be embroidered on a T-shirt. Well, that's not going to work if you've got a really detailed illustration. So, you know, have those visual prompts, I think, helps. And, look, I think a clear and consistent format is really important, right? You know, always structure it the same, even if it's different products. So you're always asking for the basic stuff first, then the more in-depth, and try not to change that layout. Clients get used to it. They find it easy, and then they start thinking about it before they even call you. Here's my winning tips, okay? So you should or could have different design briefs depending on what you're designing. Now, that's not easy when you're starting, right? Because to write 10, 20, 30 design briefs, you know, templates, questionnaires, is really time-consuming. Maybe build them as you go and improve them, and eventually you'll end up with a nice library of them, right?
Yeah, and base them on what you're already creating for your customers and the feedback that they've already given you. So that should give you a good starting point.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're consistently having to go back to a customer for a particular piece of information, then it should go into your design brief.
Exactly.
So you get it up front. You know, make sure you talk design styling, you know, color, fonts, images, copy, right? Because they don't know, right? And they're going to assume that you can just pull these out of the air, but you need some sort of guideline. Otherwise, you're going to be double handling the work. You know, find out how the design is going to be used, right? So not just the target market, right, and the demographic and the geographic regions and all that sort of stuff, but also, too, you know, what's the required output and where else will this design be used?
That's a great question, where else, yeah.
Yeah, because you think about it, right? They might be getting you to design a website, okay? But it's very relevant to ask, will you be redesigning all your other material after this? Because you don't want to put design elements into the website that can't transpose to corporate brochures, signage, vehicle wraps, billboards, if that's where they're required.
Yeah, right? We're talking very low res versus massive. If it's a billboard, for instance.
Well, it's not just low resolution, but, you know, the type of logo that might get designed, the type of colours that you're going to use, the background elements, the styling. Some things just don't transpose well across different media. And, I mean, you know, my classic example is, will this be used on uniforms, right? Because you don't have the flexibility in embroidery to do the same thing as you might in print, right? Is it going to be used on web and in print? So you mentioned low res. We always, when we get stock images for our clients, even if we're doing electronic, so web, banners, that kind of thing, we always supply them with a high res file so they can transpose that into something in print later on, right?
Okay,
so we never buy the low res. We always buy the high res.
Yeah, well, we do as well, but still, you don't want to design in high res because it's going to chew up the, you know, the design space, if you like.
Oh, no, definitely.
File size, et cetera.
No, definitely. You know, but knowing the required output, right, of the design, and will it be used elsewhere? Because we often get somebody come to us and say, well, you know, we need new packaging, right, or we need a new brochure. And we always ask the question, will this be, particularly if it's a product brochure, will this transpose across to the packaging? Will it transpose across to your website so that we are very aware of it? You know, and look, it's also not a bad way to upsell.
Exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, you and I have had this conversation before.
Yeah, well,
and I think it was you that inspired me to push the upsell. I think I was doing it without even realizing. You know? And my last top tip, right, is every design brief should have a deadline and an explanation why that deadline is that deadline, right? And I know that sounds silly, but, you know, giving somebody a design brief for a brochure and not telling them that you've got a massive expo in 2 weeks, you need to tell them, I need it by, you know, Thursday the XYZ, right, because I have an expo and I need to have it printed for the expo, right? And most clients will do that, but make it part of your formal design brief process, right? And there has to be the why, because I get a lot of people who give me short notice design briefs, and then when I ask them why, and it's just because they're running a little bit late, but it's not actually critical. You know, the world's not going to end, and, you know, they've got to understand that we have to manage our workflow. We have dozens and dozens of clients, and they're, by giving us a short turnaround time, they're asking us to push other clients out of the way to let them in. And now I will do that every time if there is a critical reason why, but I want to know the why. Now, I've actually banned ASAP in our business, right? If a client sends me an email and it says ASAP, that to me, and I've explained these to these clients, right, because they do it repeatedly, that means as soon as possible, which means when I get around to it. So I may not look at it for a week, right, because I have other time critical. But if they send it to me and say, listen, I really need it by tomorrow afternoon
because
we've had a last-minute presentation for a massive client,
yeah,
that's a different story.
Yeah.
I'm probably sound like a bit of a hard-ass on this, and apologies to any of my clients out there. I don't mean to be rude, but the reality is, you know, appreciate the fact that a designer works with multiple clients and be open and honest and clear with them as to your deadlines and what's important for you, and they will deliver.
And be prepared to pay a little more if you want it yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with having to pay to get it done fast. I mean, we've got to pay overtime to our staff, you know.
Exactly.
We've got to stay up late to get it done. Somebody has to pay for that, you know. Greg, you got any other killer tips for our, you know, what should go into a design brief?
Yeah, you kind of alluded to it before, and that is in a design brief, you could have an upsell in there or cross-sell. So, you know, like, for instance, if you're designing a logo, you know, for a brand new business, they may require business cards or letterheads, flyers, social media banners or whatever. So if you had in there, would you like any of blah, 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 blah services, you know, included, it's a good opportunity for an upsell.
Sounds like you've been doing a bit of conversion optimization.
It's all part of the process.
Yes. Yeah, now that's awesome, man. Absolutely. You know, what else would you like designed?
Yeah, for sure, man. So what about you? Any killer tips?
All right, Greg, it is time in the episode now for our killer tips and listener actions. What is your killer tip this week?
Buddy, I would say to put in a design brief other services that you offer. So it might be a question, for instance, if you're doing a logo for somebody, that might be a brand new business, you could ask them, would you like us to design, for instance, a business card, a letterhead, flyer, social media banners, etc., in the questionnaire. So it just gives them an opportunity to start thinking about other things that they may need, and there's a good chance they don't know that you offer all these other services. So by having them in your design brief, it's a good opportunity for an upsell or a cross-sell.
Yeah, that's nice, man. That's the conversion expert in you coming out, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, for me, I'm going to challenge the business owner to get better at doing design briefs. You know, what I'm going to suggest you do is go out, grab an old design that you've done, a brochure that you've previously briefed a designer on, and retrospectively do a design brief. Just, you know, grab a pad and pen and think about what is it that I need to describe to my designer to get this design. Right? And it just gets you thinking about what are the key elements. And when you're doing it retrospectively, you will think about it and go, wow, I really probably didn't give as good a design brief, or maybe this took a little longer than it should have. But it will give you just that little bit of confidence the next time you've got to do it. And hey, designers, you know, ask yourself the question, can I do anything better? Make it easier, make it faster for my clients to deliver a design brief. You know, instead of sending a PDF that they have to print and then write, or a Word doc, have an online form. You know, give them those visual prompts. You know, if you've got an online form, you can have a simple button that then shows examples of different things. So if they're not sure, they could tick a box and say, yeah, I like this style, right? Because I'm not sure how to describe it. So just, you know, making that extra effort in the front end actually makes life a lot easier during the design process. So like I said earlier in the episode, going and doing the hand sketches before we actually hit the computer, it's counterintuitive. We're spending more time on something, but it's actually paying off in spades later on. Now, Greg, that has been an action-packed episode. Did you enjoy that one?
Yeah, man. Yeah, killer. Killer. So thank you, Al.
No, thank you, Greg. And farewell and thank you to you, the listener. Please leave a review, a 5-star review on iTunes. That would be cool. And come and visit us at therealmagic.com to sign up to find out when we have a new episode. That's it for me today. I'm Alan from Pixel Partners, and farewell, Greg.
Yeah, and don't forget to share our web pages as well. Thanks, listener.
Oh, yeah, a bit of social media love.
You got it, mate.
Thanks for listening to The Real Magic Podcast. Hear more at therealmagic.com.